Well, a new report from the eSafety Commission has revealed significant gaps in the way that major tech companies are tackling child sexual exploitation and abuse. Some platforms are failing to provide clear and accessible ways for users to report abuse, while others are lacking key detection tools to prevent harm in private messaging and video services. It comes as reports of what's known as sextortion, a form of blackmail using nude or sexual images of a victim, continue to rise, with more than half of those surveys experiencing it before the age of 16. Julie Inman-Grant is the eSafety Commissioner and joins me now. Commissioner, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you for having me, Sarah, Sally.
This is the third transparency report your commission has published on the efforts of online platforms in addressing child abuse. Are you seeing any improvements from these big tech companies?
We actually have seen some glimpses of light, and this is why we keep putting out these transparency reports, but holding their feet to the fire, pointing out weaknesses and shortcomings, and using that reputational lever to have them improve. So 5 years ago, when we did this first study of about six companies, Microsoft was the clear laggard. It took them up to 19 days to deal with reports of child sexual abuse on Skype in particular. They had no technology detection. They were embarrassed, frankly, by it. Some of their executives called me in. I said, well, why do you even have Skype anymore if it's being used this way? They actually ended up deprecating the service, which means they got rid of it because they did find it was more risk than reward for the company. And now they're actually using some technical detection tools on platforms like Xbox. We need to see them expanding that to Teams and other video sharing platforms, because live stream child sexual abuse is a horrible crime where, you know, children are often exploited by their families in developing nations. And unfortunately, Australians and Western consumers are driving that demand for child sexual abuse online.
You've also outlined the concerns about what's known as sextortion for young social media users. Has there been a reduction in that, or is it continuing to grow?
Sexual extortion has reached catastrophic proportions, I'd say, with Australian boys and young men being brutally targeted by organized criminal networks every day. These offenders are exploiting these very predictable weaknesses in platform design. They're able to continue doing it with reporting pathways that are either non-existent or hard to find. And then, of course, these advanced tech companies are using inconsistent safety tools to move quickly just to provide reporting, which is not a big fix, using language analysis technologies. We provided them scripts of the typical grooming messages that sextortionists use. They could use the language analysis to get rid of the fake and imposter accounts. But we're also seeing the organized criminals become much more sophisticated. They're using generative AI to create very attractive personas. They're using face swapping technologies, which are very convincing, and voice cloning technologies. So, you know, they've really honed their craft in terms of targeting young men. I just did the numbers for last fiscal year. We had 8,000 image-based abuse reports last year. That's the non-consensual sharing of intimate images and videos. And traditionally, the first 8 years of that service, it tended to be women and girls that were targeted with the non-consensual sharing of intimate images. 50% of these reports are now financial sexual extortion targeting young men between 18 and 24. But we're also seeing much younger kids coming to us, 15, 16, 17. There's a manifesto that shows these organized criminals how to, you know, put high pressure tactics on to isolate the young people and to panic them to get them to pay. It's a horrendous crime that, you know, in the worst case scenario, leads to extreme mental distress and sometimes suicide.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman-Grant. What's the latest dashboard on the effectiveness of the under-16s social media ban, which the federal government is looking to strengthen?
Well, we will be coming out with a compliance report in the next month, but I think what everyone has seen, we've actually seen a 37% reduction in the number of children under 16 having and holding accounts. But as we've been very clear, the social media companies are not complying. We're calling them out on their poor practices, and we've seen some of the companies improve them, but we need to lift compliance. And as you heard from the Prime Minister and Minister Wells, they are trying to give us the enforcement tools that we need to hold these companies to account. There is an inquiry happening, which we will, of course, submit to. But, you know, this was always going to be an iterative process. You know, we're the first one in the peloton, no one drafting behind us quite yet, and we're learning as we go. Once we get some of these tools, I think you'll see some action. We've also seen with countries all over the world joining this fight. It's a really important global pincher move. So many of these companies have the market power of nation states, so we need to be banding together with other like-minded middle powers and you know, the 27 countries across Europe, and we will see progress over time. But this is a major normative and cultural change. This is not going to be an overnight success. We're trying to undo 20 years of deliberately engineered harm to keep kids on their platforms.
Julie Inman-Grant, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.